Fantasy Footballers DFS Podcast, coming to you from DraftKings Studios with your hosts, Kyle Morganoni and Matthew Betts.
Well, hello. Here we are, special Thanksgiving edition of Fantasy Footballers DFS Podcast. I'm talking to you out there, Tubby. I'm talking to you adding 3 or 4 pounds this week, Betts. Yeah, I'm talking to you, man.
Oh, it is sweatpants season, baby. Yes, if you wear a belt to your Thanksgiving meal, you're doing it so wrong. It is the time to overeat, watch football, spend time with the family, and most importantly, play DFS.
It's a special kind of sweats. When you're wearing the sweatpants, you're sweating DFS, because if you're sweating this, eventually those sweatpants are coming off, and the rest of your family is maybe a bit ashamed, but no, I feel like season? They will understand if, like, hey, I'm running hot. I'm running a heater right now in a Millimaker, and if I win this thing, like, guys, none of us are wearing pants. That's what I'm going to tell my family.
That would be an incredible Thanksgiving day. I'll just say that.
It would be awesome if, like, you have somebody, like, you know, somebody's significant other, their first time, you know, seeing your family, and you're like, wow, you know, we watch football at our family, but y'all do it a bit different. I've heard of DFS, but I've never heard of an entire family sweating it out without their pants on. And they're hoping for, like, a Tim Boyle miracle or Trevor Siemian miracle. Like, that's what Thanksgiving's all about, right?
A Tim Boyle Thanksgiving miracle, exactly. That's Thanksgiving in a nutshell.
We'll be talking about our boy Boyle in a second. But quick question, Thanksgiving related, any childhood memory related to Thanksgiving? Usually we talk about food and food takes. We're going to do that on the main podcast on the Megalodon, which... I'm preparing my body for that and me staying up all night working on that. But any Thanksgiving related story or memory that you have that just stands out as a kid?
I don't know that I have one specific. I think the best part about the day, for me anyway, is just being with family. Obviously right now living further away, it's so nice to be close to family with those occasions. But from the food aspect, that's the best part of it for me. Like, you get specific foods made on one day of the entire year. And they're always like family recipes. Like, your grandma puts in one or two ingredients that you don't even know what it is, and she won't tell you. It's just so good. So I don't have anything specific to speak to, but just those specific foods, spending time with family, and enjoying the day. That's really what it's all about.
I specifically remember as a child, my grandparents lived across the street from an elementary school. And right after we would watch the 12 o'clock games, we'd have like a little light lunch. We would go and play flag football for 2 or 3 hours. One of my uncles was a kick returner in college. And so I'd always try to be on his team because he always wanted to run the option. And I just thought that was so cool as a kid. Why would we throw the ball when we could just run the option over and over again? So I have very vivid memories of the early 90s watching like Cowboys games, watching, you know, different teams play. And it was glorious.
Oh, yeah. Those are the Deion Sanders, Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman years. Those are fun times.
I did have a Deion Sanders jersey that I specifically remember wearing so that I could watch the game and then go with my family across the street and play. So, yes, Thanksgiving is actually my favorite holiday. Just a lot of good memories, especially with my cousins. And we're glad you're with us for DFS. For a lot of people, this is their favorite time of year. It is a unique 3-game slate. So we're going to be talking about this kind of blending together some concepts from showdown slates, some concepts of leverage and game theory and everything else we've been talking about, and our official picks. So we're going to give you a full preview. We're going to preview the 3 games, give you our salary standouts, and then Betts and I are going to give a battle royale where we kind of reveal on air our lineups, and you can just copy and paste if you want. They probably won't be as good as Andy's lineups if you copied and pasted those a couple weeks back, but you can get all of our official picks in the DFS pass. But dude, let's just jump into this and check out these salaries.
Salary standouts.
So with 6 teams, we have a pretty limited pool. And on this slate, we actually have a number of injuries that feels like it diminishes some of the high-end players. We don't know CeeDee Lamb's status right now. So that's going to be really tough talking through this podcast and a player that could change a slate. We know Amari Cooper won't be in. And Alvin Kamara is just up in the air. So any just quick takes before we get into salaries about injuries and where you feel like these guys are at?
Yeah, I think for Alvin Kamara, it's going to be really tough to see him play. There's a report that potentially the knee issue is more serious than that was initially led on. And on a short week, he did not practice on Monday. That's, of course, just an estimate, but still not trending in a good direction. We're recording this on Tuesday in the middle of the day. So we'll have Twitter open, hopefully, to kind of catch some news as we record. And if not, you know, we'll update in the DFS pass. But I don't think Alvin Kamara is going to play. And then for CeeDee Lamb, the most recent report that we got was that he is making progress, was the direct quote, and that he might be able to do some on-field work today on Tuesday. So Wednesday's practice is going to be crucial for CeeDee Lamb to clear the protocol in a short week.
I feel like with these injuries, I wish we had like one more team to work with, like one more team with some offensive pieces that we could kind of mix in. So the best part about a three-game slate is you're going to feel like there's a couple of areas where you're like, oh gosh, I'm really stretching it here with, I don't know, Khalif Raymond or, you know, DeSean Jackson or Josh Reynolds. Like those are players that are like way down there. It's like, I guess I could see it on a three-game slate. So what's your overall feeling just about the salaries and the way it's distributed this week?
It's so tough. We were trying to build our lineup before the show started independently, and I messaged you. I was like, hey, you having any troubles? You, of course, said, no, this is great. And I found myself going back and forth and trying to figure out the right combination. Just on a smaller slate, you don't have the options that you normally do. And when two of the six teams playing include the Lions and the Bears, the options feel even worse. So you're going to feel uncomfortable hitting submit on Thursday morning for your lineups.
So we'll go through it in a little bit. Like, how would you approach this slate from a game theory perspective? Because that first game between the Lions and the Bears, you have to ask yourself, like, how many pieces do I really want from this game? And it's pretty clear the field's going to be underweight, but do I want to be overweight and get some exposure to players that not everyone else is doing? So we'll talk about that in a second. But in terms of salary standouts, I mean, at quarterback, it's very clear. It's Josh Allen and Dak Prescott. They stand above everyone else. But there's kind of this tier step system this week where it's like Josh Allen on DraftKings 7,800, Dak Prescott at about $900 cheaper at 6,900, and then Derek Carr at 5,900. So it's kind of like you see these different kind of levels and you kind of have to pick. But I mean, in a cash format, it's basically Allen and Dak, right?
Yeah, I don't think you can go below that if you're playing cash on this slate, which just real quick for listeners, on a three-game slate, this is not a great spot to find an edge in cash games, which we usually tell you, you know, is a great way to build a bankroll. I think you kind of treat this, and personally, maybe you feel it differently, Kyle, like a showdown slate in some ways and really embrace the variance and maybe go more GPP and tournament route this week. It's tough in cash because, like you said, those are the two quarterbacks. They're the obvious best plays on the slate. So the roster percentage is going to push in like double ups. What would you say? 60 to 80% for those two guys, right? Somewhere in that range. Like everyone's going to play those guys. So there isn't a ton of edge, especially at quarterback. I mean, clearly they're the best players on the slate. If you are playing Clash though, don't go below Dak, in my opinion.
Yeah. If you did want to go down to Carr, I could see it. And we'll talk about that from a GPP perspective because what it opens up. But when you're doing that, you're trying to say, I want to get different. And that's more of a tournament conversation. So yeah, it's Allen, it's Dak. And I think Allen for me just, you know, stands above them because when we look at New Orleans defense, there's a couple of easy spots and really they're not rushing the passer like you would think they would. So I think that opens up a clear conversation of like, he has the rushing upside. He's the guy that's easiest can get to 25, 30 points and distance himself from the rest of the field. So if Dak's down two weapons too, it's like, to me, it's an easy thing to go with Allen, but who knows, when you reveal your lineup, you might put in Tim Boyle. So at running back, I feel like DraftKings messed up.
Yeah, the price on David Montgomery is just, it's silly. I mean, he's cheaper than Mark Ingram, which I don't really understand. He is currently priced below, you know, Zeke, Alvin Kamara, who obviously doesn't look like he's going to play. Like, he's just buried in pricing at $6,000. It's the Lions. I mean, we don't need to tell you guys that it's a great matchup. And, you know, it's not difficult to see a path where he is getting 18 to 20 touches in a great matchup at a great price tag. So again, like Josh Allen and Dak Prescott in these, you know, 50-50s and double ups, he's going to be 70 to 80% for sure. He's easily the best point per dollar play on the slate. I think how you approach him in tournaments, which we'll talk about in a second, is really the conversation. But if you are playing cash games, lock David Montgomery in there. He's in a great spot.
I think this is actually the hardest step, is after Montgomery in a cash style lineup, you almost want to look and say, okay, where can I get some cheap production at running back? Because Zeke is a great play, but he's a little banged up. And Kamara's probably not going to play. Swift's in the same exact game. He's been killing it recently. So you kind of have to ask that question. We're kind of throwing out the rules, right, this week on playing two running backs in the same game.
I mean, you did just tell the people that it might be acceptable to take your pants off at Thanksgiving. So there are no rules on this slate. But what you're referencing is usually we talk to people about, you know, trying to limit maybe one running back from one game, or don't play a defense against the quarterback that you're playing. But on these smaller slates, you're not trying to, I think, hit as much of an optimal outcome. There's more room for error and things kind of go sideways more often. And we talk about that a lot with Showdown, right? Like, there's so much variance on a one game slate. It's not that much different on a three game slate. And when, you know, you're just trying to put out the best point per dollar lineup out there, it's really hard to do on a three game slate. So I think you don't necessarily ignore the rules, but you definitely don't follow them maybe like you always would on a main slate.
So what about Mark Ingram? If we knew that Kamara would be out, 6,200, you know, he's going to get the workload against Buffalo. Tough run defense, obviously was just gashed by Jonathan Taylor. Any interest there? Because it's clearly a step down price-wise from Zeke and Swift, and then you're able to spend up at other positions, you know, Diggs, Darren Waller. So how do you feel about Ingram?
Yeah, I actually kind of like Ingram this week. More of a tournament play for me personally, and the reason I like him is just because he's in that same price range as Josh Jacobs at 5,900. He's right above David Montgomery at 6,000, who is going to be extremely popular. So if you're looking for just a straight line pivot to create some leverage, he would be the move for me. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's playing about 80% of the snaps over the last 2 weeks without Alvin Kamara in there. And in those games, 21 and 24 total opportunities, including 7 and 8 targets. So he can get there even in a negative game script. I know the Bills are a really tough matchup, but again, on a three game slate, you're really trying to just get guys out there that can put up points. And who's to say Mark Ingram doesn't fall in the end zone this week? I mean, for the love of God, Jonathan Taylor went bananas last week, 4 touchdowns. So yeah, he's in play for sure in tournaments for me, not as much of a cash play.
I'll highlight two more kind of running back situations with the Bills. I have no idea how it's going to shake out, and I don't think anyone does. But if you wanted to throw a dart in a tournament, that's kind of where you could get a leverage. Like, if one of those three running backs is the one with a touchdown, congratulations, you guessed right, and probably at a super low roster percentage because they're kind of probably going to cannibalize each other. So sure, but I can't give you any solid advice on the way it's going to be split up because it was directly a, you know, 33-33-33 split between those three dudes. Also, Zach Moss isn't good at football. But the Raiders, that's the one I'm interested in your take, because game flow-wise, you kind of have to pick. That's what we've normally done with Josh Jacobs. Like, if the Raiders win, we want Josh Jacobs. Last week, they didn't win. He got 7 targets. So are you interested in Jacobs, or is it kind of one of those things where Vegas thinks that the Raiders will be trailing and Kenyon Drake kind of relies more on efficiency than anything else? So I guess you're asking for 5-6 targets from him. I don't know. He feels like a thinner play, but he's all the way down at 4,600.
Yeah, for sure. I think that they're both in play, again, only in tournaments, especially with Kenyon Drake. But, you know, like you said, you're looking for ways to save salary on this slate and ways to get a little bit different. I think the vast majority of roster builds are going to be expensive running backs and then try to jam in some of these cheap but extremely volatile pass catchers like the Lions, like the cheap guys for the Bears, those kind of plays. And Kenyon Drake, we've seen him have some explosive plays, and obviously if he's getting PPR value on DraftKings, I think it's totally viable in a tournament where you project him to play from behind. And, you know, Derek Carr, for sure, over the last 3 weeks has definitely regressed in terms of his downfield passing. He kind of seems like he's like reverting a little bit back to those check down days. You're seeing Josh Jacobs get volume in the passing game. Like, apparently we're living in the upside down. But I think both those running backs are in play, definitely in tournaments, for sure, especially as, again, a way to get different aside from the popular running backs.
I also mentioned Tony Pollard on FanDuel at 5,900. He's cheaper on that site, and obviously you'd use him more like in a tournament style, but on FanDuel, that's kind of a misprice for what he can do. Like, he's one of the few guys that you could see on the slate. Like, he has upside to be the RB1 if Zeke went down. And then he also has his own standalone value. So Pollard on FanDuel is probably one of my favorite plays to mix it in. But let's go to wide receiver, because it's Stephon Diggs by himself if CeeDee Lamb doesn't play. He's just on an island by himself in terms of pricing. I'm playing him in cash. I'm just going to tell you right now, he's in my lineup. I'm assuming
he's in mine too, so that's fine.
Okay. I mean, it's just, there's not much you can really argue with. And over the last 6 weeks, he's kind of seen an uptick in terms of overall production. So Stephon Diggs, that's really all we have to say about him. But where do you go from there in terms of points per dollar plays?
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about the Bears wide receivers.
No.
Okay, come on, dude. We're going to get Andy Dalton. You know Andy Dalton. He's your boy. I feel like we always get Andy Dalton on Thanksgiving for some reason, but maybe I'm confusing him with someone else. But anyway, we get Andy Dalton, who last week came in, actually put up some production for the wide receivers. I don't know who it's going to be. Obviously, Allen Robinson is the key here. If he misses, you're going to get some sort of production from Darnell Mooney or Marquise Goodwin, who is way down there in pricing. I find it difficult to see a scenario where they both hit a ceiling outcome, especially if David Montgomery is going to play well, which I do think he will. So for me, it's probably setting a rule of one of those two guys, but it's the Lions. We pick on their secondary every week in DFS. This is no different. Both those guys ran a ton of routes, and really you just kind of ask yourself, do you want to pay up for who's likely to be the more popular play in Darnell Mooney, or go down to more of a tournament type of play in Marquise Goodwin, who's down there at 3,800 on DraftKings?
We'll talk about that game from a stacking perspective, because I have a hard time. If we're all in on Montgomery, and let's say Montgomery hits his projection, 15 whatever points, are they going to be able to do it with the wide receivers, and they're going to be able to pay off comparatively to the other wide receivers that are also on? So Mooney, right now, if you don't count Lamb and Cooper, he's the wide receiver 3 on this slate in DraftKings. He's the wide receiver 2 on FanDuel. So like, you're asking actually a lot of Mooney. I know we just saw 16 targets, and that is a sexy statistic, except for he caught only 5 of them. So my current feeling is that I'm going to be underweight on Mooney, because I feel like the field is just kind of swept up in what we saw this past week on a screen pass he took to the house.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. And honestly, he's probably going to be a guy that I think is dependent on roster percentage, like you said. And as you said, if he is going to be super popular, he's just the type of player that you want to generally be underweight on in tournaments, because we know his type of play is generally pretty volatile. And I don't think we'd be shocked at all if Andy Dalton fell on his face on primetime.
If CeeDee Lamb is out this past week, Cedric Wilson, Cedric the Entertainer, he had 30 of his 31 snaps in the slot. So he was like the primary guy. I know there's Noah Brown, there's Malik Taylor, but Cedric's the one that I'm most interested in, because on DraftKings, they just forgot about his salary down at 3,500. On FanDuel, he's kind of priced up a little bit more, 5,600. So I like him in cash style formats as just kind of a cheap play. It's either him or Gallup, I feel like, are you pretty much need to play one of those two Cowboys receivers.
Yeah, and I do think Gallup's going to be the most popular. I mean, I know he saw 10 targets last week, but he is a guy that, you know, we've seen Amari Cooper. Even when Amari Cooper has failed in the role of being the primary perimeter wide receiver for Dallas, I'm not saying that's going to happen. It's just in the range of outcomes. And I think you're going to see the roster percentage be very heavily concentrated on Gallup. So I do like Cedric Wilson quite a bit. We've seen, you know, Dak use the slot effectively in the passing attack for Dallas. And certainly that is an area that you want to attack against this Raiders defense. So I think it's very viable for sure, especially in cash at that salary. I mean, he's like an awesome punt play this week.
The hardest situations are the Saints wide receivers, because there's, you know, is it Callaway? Is it Traquan Smith? Is it Deonte Harris? I don't know which one it's going to be. Probably one of them is going to catch a touchdown. And then with the Bills, there's a couple of options too. Like Manny Sanders has been super cold for a while. Cole Beasley's kind of matchup dependent. Gabe Davis can get an end zone target. So between, there's like 6 guys right there, and we're not even bringing up the Detroit guys. So among the cheaper options or the middle tier, anybody stand out to you?
They're all so tough. Like there's all these guys you could say like 4 negative things about in terms of their outlook here. There are not many players that you can say a lot of positive things about. However, I will say in that like lower range, like in the low 4s, kind of high 3s, I think one name that sticks out to me as a potential sneaky play is Deontay Harris. This week, he's 3,700. He is a guy that isn't playing a ton of snaps, but when he is, Trevor Siemian is looking his way in terms of, you know, targets per route run and that metric. Whereas Marquez Callaway and, you know, those other dudes, Traquan Smith, they're just out there like running around and you're hoping they find the end zone. At least with Deontay Harris, he has some upside and explosiveness. So he's the guy for me in that range, especially in tournaments. And I think my biggest fade in that area that I'm not super interested in is going to be Bryan Edwards. This is a guy who has shown virtually no ability to separate. He's most likely to get Trayvon Diggs on the perimeter. He's literally out there just running wind sprints, like not earning targets at all. And I think that people know the name. They listen to Mike on the main show talk about Bryan Edwards and they get excited about it. I will be underweight for sure in tournaments.
Yes, the rest of you sheep just following Mike and his blind takes. No, Bryan Edwards is fun from like a, you know, production profile standpoint, and it's fun to root for him. So I'm totally with Mike in that regard. But yes, matchup wise, it does not set up well for him this week. Hunter Renfrow in the slot is much better. But yeah, I agree. Deontay Harris, he eats up zone coverage. I looked this up. It's a football guy's take, but he's PFF's fifth highest graded receiver against zone coverage. Like that's where he thrives. So if he's in that position, he's cheaper than the other ones, especially on DraftKings at 3,700. So those are the main guys. One FanDuel specific thing I'll throw out there is Khalif Raymond's only 5,100. He's kind of priced it down comparatively to where he is on DraftKings. And he's kind of like all over the place too. So, I mean, like you said, all these receivers, Josh Reynolds is the stone man and he ran a ton of routes. That's it. Like that's all we have to say about Josh Reynolds. Although, dude, I have him in some best ball lineups.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. It's not looking great.
Back when he was a Titan. It's funny in best ball when you drafted players that no longer correlate. Like I have a ton of Dan Arnold, Sam Darnold. Those dudes don't correlate, but it was okay for a while.
Yeah, early in the year, I was up to my eyeballs in Matt Ryan and Julio Stacks, which, woof, that did not work out.
It's not the best stack. Same thing with Ridley Stacks. Ridley and Ryan, it's just it's not the same kind of stack these days. All right, nope. Tight end. I'm going to gush. I'm just going to say it. I've held this in. This is my favorite strategy on this slate. Okay, normally we would say don't play two tight ends, but Darren Waller, you should think of him as the wide receiver two on this slate, apart from Stephon Diggs. Pricing-wise, he's that way. But I really like Dalton Schultz. Tell me I'm crazy.
I can't. I'm with you. He is one of my favorite plays on the entire slate. And I'm going to let you know now, Kyle, he's in my lineup because I know he's in yours.
Dang it.
I know he's going to be in yours. Yeah, the Raiders just getting crushed by tight ends. You have these wide receiver injuries, specifically Amari Cooper, and especially if CeeDee Lamb sits, Dalton Schultz would be almost a lock for me in cash at a salary. Not expensive at all. Can find the end zone. Played, 99% of the snaps last week. So he's the dude this week for sure. I'm with you.
What if I told you that Dalton Schultz leads all Dallas pass catchers in receptions versus zone coverage? What if I also told you that the Las Vegas Raiders ran zone coverage at the third highest rate in the league? How would you
Dude,
feel about
you
that?
You got your hand in the dirt this morning. Full football guy take on the show over and over again. I love it. No, but in all seriousness, you're right. That is what they do. They run zone coverage and they just say, this is our defense. Try to beat us. Dak's going to pick him apart, especially if Dalton Schultz can sit in the zone and just create easy layup receptions over the middle of the field. I love it.
Right now, he's 5,300 on DraftKings. He's only 6K on FanDuel. I think he's not priced up enough because this slate, like he's there with Hockenson, but I actually consider him a better play than Hockenson. So Schultz is great. Waller's obviously great. And they're in the same game. So that might create a little bit of a, you know, roster percentage problem because if you're not flexing one of them, then it's different. But those are the two for tight end. Dawson Knox, if you want to go a little bit lower, I would only use him in a tournament to stack with Allen. But yeah, those are the tight ends. I'm not going down to Cole Kmet. I wish Adam Trautman was here, our boy, but RIP. Let's go to defense, and then we'll highlight these games. So at defense on DraftKings, it's a pretty clear what the play is.
I mean, the best play on the slate, if you're talking about point per dollar, it's probably the Bears at 3K taking on presumably Tim Boyle, a bad offense. It just makes sense. But pricing is kind of one of those things where you just have to ask yourself, how do you want to build on the slate? And if you want to punt it off, you only have two options. They're not great. You're talking about the Raiders defense or the Lions defense. It's tricky. I found myself with some of the roster constructions actually trying to get off the Bears because I do think they're going to be really popular in tournaments. So Dallas is super intriguing up there at the very top. And then I think the Bills are even in play, honestly. So I like the top three names on the slate, Cowboys, Bills, Bears. But I do agree with you. I think Bears are probably the best play.
The Lions are an interesting leverage point at home. The total's super low. Everyone's playing David Montgomery. So just throwing that out there. I mean, just because they're the Bears. And then, yeah, the Cowboys on FanDuel are a elite play at 4K at home as 7-point favorite. So on FanDuel, I think you can definitely go there. But before we talk about these games, any overarching thoughts you have about lineup construction, game theory? Because three games, if you haven't done this, like this is more like a playoff slate, which will really fun to talk about. But how do we approach this a little bit differently?
Yeah, you approach it a lot different, actually. We know that the roster percentages are going to be very elevated across the board for, you know, some of the best plays on the slate. Don't be surprised to log in and see 50, 60, 70% on these guys. So that's one thing to consider. And then the other thing is just when you know that that's going to be the case, if you take a stand the opposite direction of where that roster percentage is going to go, you don't have to get that different elsewhere in your lineup because you're already creating just massive leverage on the field on this small slate. So that's one thing to consider. The other thing is, I think sometimes people think they have to get exposure to all three games. You don't have to do that on a three-game slate, especially if you think the Bears just fail miserably or the Lions fail miserably. Like, don't feel like you have to get locked into players from every game. So those are the kind of couple things that I consider on these small slates.
Yeah, I would say my biggest take that I want to give people is be willing to roster underdogs because it's very clear the Bears, Cowboys, Bills, like those are probably the best teams that you can look at and go, okay, Lions stink, Raiders are not doing so well, the Saints probably won't have Kamara. But being willing to roster those players from that game gives you leverage on the field and gives you access to stacks that no one else has. So that's what you need, because please don't share a screenshot and say, look, I had Michael Gallup in my lineup. Like everyone had Michael Gallup in their lineup. Everyone's going to have Cedric Wilson. Like everyone's going to have these players. So the way you do it is not just with one player that's different. It's you stacking multiple players from the same game and creating leverage. So let's talk about how we would stack this slate.
Stack attack.
You have to forgive me if you hear some lawnmowers in the back and some leaf blowers. That's called life, right? Suburban life. That's how it works.
It is. That's the homeowner life.
Hey, I pay into a homeowners association, so what does that say about me? I'm in my 30s.
Exactly.
All right, so let's talk about this first game. Chicago Bears at Detroit Lions. We really don't have to go through this one as much because Timothy Kevin Boyle is starting, and everyone's thrown out as many statistics as possible about why is he in the NFL. That's okay. But from a football perspective, I mean, this game's screaming under, right?
It is. It is. Been a trend that is not looking good. Both offenses, bottom five in yards per play and points per game. Detroit has hit the over one time in their last eight games.
Not
Chicago
good.
Hit the over three times on the entire season.
Not good.
Not good. The over under at 41.5. It's a gross game environment. And I think if you're looking to fade one game on the slate, knowing that David Montgomery is going to be the most popular play, for me, this is the game to fade.
So let's say from a large field perspective, you're playing one of those big tournaments. If you are going to stack this game, because the field mostly is going to be fading it, how would you create leverage on the field? Because if you do play David Montgomery, are you saying I'm playing Dalton Montgomery and adding on another piece and then running it back with somebody else? Like, are you saying I need four pieces in this game if I want to get different?
I don't think so. I mean, the tricky part is that if you are going to try to do that, the only play that you really could probably make, I mean, I guess you could argue that TJ Hockenson is a fine bring back, but to me, the only play that I'm interested in is DeAndre Swift, and I think a lot of people share the same sort of idea. So if you are going to stack Chicago's side, you're going to run into an elevated roster percentage again with DeAndre Swift coming back on the other side. So I think for me, I'm not going to force a bring back if I'm stacking this game, and I think the only way I mean, unless you want to get wild and crazy with Tim Boyle, is to stack Andy Dalton and maybe leave out David Montgomery and stack him with two of the wide receivers and just try to create massive leverage on Chicago's side and just say if they score through the air rather than on the ground, you're just creating a ton of leverage in tournaments.
Yeah, if Chicago's going to put up points, if they're going to beat their team implied total of 22.5 and it doesn't come through Montgomery, then yes, you double stack Andy Dalton because he's not offering anything on the ground. And then I would bring it back with somebody from Detroit. I feel like there's somebody that and their pieces are cheap enough that's going to have a cheap PPR game. Maybe they get the lead through DeAndre Swift. Like we've seen the last 2 weeks, he's run for over 130 yards in both. So maybe this is one of those games where you look at the Lions win expectation, it's 2.2 wins and they have, they have zero. So team has yet to win, but they've been in games and I think that they could actually pull this one out. It's totally possible. A couple of things I'll point out is Amon-Ra St. Brown is kind of like the cheap PPR target the way that we think, but him and Hockenson have super negative correlations. So don't play those two together. Kind of pick one or the other. And then Khalif Raymond, like I said on FanDuel, is kind of maybe hits a bomb. We've seen him do that before. So that's really as far as I can go. Josh Reynolds doesn't feel like a GPP play. He's kind of like a punt in cash.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I just want to point out too, I don't want to like skip over this. I am really interested and excited about DeAndre Swift in this game. Would you play him with David Montgomery? Or is that a no-go for you in this game? I think, again, on a small slate, maybe you kind of stretch the rules, but I'm not sure what your take is. I think I probably would do it if I was going to play a bring back on Detroit.
I think it's totally fine. I think you are, if you're saying DeAndre Swift is in my lineup, then you need to find a popular piece that's either a Diggs or a Waller that you are just outrightly fading because that's kind of where you're allocating that salary. And then you have to hit on a cheapie. Like you need a Cedric Wilson, Noah Brown, somebody to catch a touchdown to pay off at their salary because really you're paying up there at two running back spots. So I don't hate it. I mean, he's on a roll and he's getting the opportunities. Jamal Williams is kind of getting phased out. So yeah, overall, this game seems pretty straightforward. Cole Kmet let down a ton of people in cash last week. Ugly Jimmy G had three receptions, and we thought he was just a bleeding corpse. So I wouldn't try to go there with the tight ends. And then Hockenson, he's more expensive than the wide receiver five. So, you know, maybe you tell yourself he's going to get a bunch of receptions, but like he needs to pay off at his salary in a significant way. So give me your Vegas pick.
I will take the under. I will also take the fighting Tim Boyles plus 3.5.
I can't in good conscience say that I would pick the Lions, but I think I would if I had to. I will take the under. I feel more confident in the under. But man, Dan Campbell, I'm rooting for him now. Now that they ruined our bet of the 0-17 and they have a tie, totally fine with them winning.
Totally I want them to win more games. Give him 3 wins. Give him 4. Let's get wild.
Hey, why not? All right, next game is Las Vegas Raiders at the Dallas Cowboys. This game has a 51-point total, so our heavy hitter on this slate. Dallas is a 7-point home favorite. They have a 29-point team implied total. So even with these injuries, with Amari, maybe not CD, Zeke's banged up, like they're the team that we want to invest in from just a median projection standpoint. But the plays kind of are thin. Like, I don't see, like, a ceiling play from a lot of these guys the way that we'd normally project from Lamb or project from Cooper. So, with Zeke, I just want to throw him out first because he's most expensive running back in the slate. I think he has the best chance to get 2 touchdowns on the slate. How are you handling him?
Yeah, he's a guy that I was really excited about looking ahead to the slate on Sunday, kind of looking at who was playing and that sort of thing. And then he left early on Sunday with the injury, came back in, finished the game. Definitely didn't look right. And now we have a limited practice on Monday. So monitor what he's doing in practice and how he's progressing, because that really is a big decision point is how healthy do you think he is? And if he is, this is just an awesome, awesome spot for the running backs on Dallas against a Raiders defense that is giving up the following stat lines to the last 3 running backs they faced. Joe Mixon, 123 yards, 2 touchdowns. Darrell Williams, 144 total yards, 1 receiving touchdown, and then Devontae Booker with Saquon still out of the lineup. He went over 100 yards total from scrimmage. So they're giving up a ton of production, It's just how healthy do you think he is? And with the high total on the slate, as far as the team implied total, he's going to stand out as an awesome spend up to be contrarian type of play at running back with most people playing David Montgomery.
It's interesting. Last year, if you remember, Zeke was the most popular running back on the slate and he didn't hit. So now you're getting Zeke kind of at a lower roster percentage, but still a great game environment for him. So yeah, it's weird to say that Zeke is not like the dude that everyone's rushing to. And it's, I think it's the bias of what happened to Dallas last week, him being kind of banged up. I will mention, just because I have to throw in a little correlation stat, it's very strong with our boy Dalton Schultz, or as Jason's been calling him, Dr. Schultz, which I appreciate that nickname. I think that fits for me.
I like it.
So, yeah, let's say you wanted to in this game, you didn't play Dak and you didn't play Carr. You want to say use, I don't know, Josh Allen. If you wanted to play Zeke and Schultz and then not touch Gallup, I think that's totally fine because you're basically getting away from some of that roster percentage. Cedric Wilson probably will be pretty popular. That's one way to do it. And then you bring it back with somebody like Hunter Renfrow or Darren Waller. Like, that's a way. If you're not using the quarterbacks in this game, I really like it. But if you are stacking with Dak, how would you do it?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. For me, it's with Dalton Schultz. And then I think you're trying to figure out who is the secondary guy if you are going to double stack. And I find it tough to go all in on a guy like Michael Gallup, who we know is going to be popular and has volatility associated with him. So I might just take the cheap guy in Cedric Wilson and just kind of understand, like, the floor is a literal zero, but at the same time, you're saving so much salary that's really important to get up to other positions elsewhere on the slate. So for me, it's Dalton Schultz and probably fading Michael Gallup, in my opinion.
So the Raiders side, they're just trending in a bad direction, but I think they're a team that still carries the most upside of the underdogs, like way more than the Lions, more than the Saints. Carr can show up, and it hasn't looked great without Henry Ruggs. So let's say you wanted to stack with Carr. You're basically saying Dak and Allen are not going to get there, and Carr's going to put up 20-plus points. Would you go Carr, I don't know, Drake and Waller, or Carr, Renfrow? It's hard for me to go with Renfrow and Waller because they've had a ton of negative correlation.
Yeah, true. And Renfrow's salary has started to creep up over the last month of the season. I mean, rightly so. He's been pretty good for fantasy, especially on DraftKings with PPR scoring. So I think I'm with you. I think you probably pick one of those two guys, and then you're throwing a dart elsewhere at someone like, we talked about, I'm not into Bryan Edwards, but maybe you are throwing a dart at that guy. Maybe it's a dart at DeSean Jackson, hoping he catches a deep bomb. I mean, you kind of have to get a little weird on this slate. So that's an option for sure. Obviously, those plays are extremely thin. So what you laid out is probably the most optimal type of setup with Kenyon Drake and Darren Waller or Hunter Renfrow. But again, it's really tricky on this small slate to find ways that you're excited about Derek Carr, especially with how bad he's played in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, there's just some rules that are kind of easier to follow with the Raiders when you think about their game flow. So Renfrow and Jacobs have a ton of negative correlation, because those Jacobs games just usually hit the under. And with Renfrow, you're just trying to rack them up. But with Renfrow, you probably don't want to play Waller. So it's just, you have to figure out the right combination of those. I probably will have Renfrow or Waller in most lineups, because I think that there is some PPR value that those guys just rack it up. But Josh Jacobs is the one that could ruin the slate. I have this feeling that I'm going to be underweight on him, and he's going to just rush for 80 yards and maybe getting two touchdowns or something. So Josh Jacobs is the play. If I were to do that, I would stack it up with Dak, or just say Josh Jacobs and one other piece and get out of this game. That's kind of where I'm at. But what's your Vegas pick?
Yes, I actually like the under in this one. Over the last 3 weeks, the Raiders, 0-3 against the spread. The under has hit 2 of 3 weeks. I will take the under here in this game.
I will take the Raiders on the road plus 7 points. I just feel like there's a lot of bad juju going on with the Cowboys right now, with all their injuries. If CeeDee Lamb doesn't play, I feel even more confident in that play. And you just saw, like, their offense could not get anything going against Kansas City. I mean, just completely bad. And I realize they're at home. They are a better team, but I will take the Raiders plus the 7 points.
Yeah, one more thing real quick before we move on is just the Tyron Smith situation. The splits for the offense in general for Dallas have been way worse when Tyron Smith has been out of the lineup. So monitor his status. He missed last week. Certainly, if he is out, you would maybe downgrade the rushing attack, as well as we saw Dak under pressure a ton last week. So one thing to monitor on the offensive line for Dallas.
Last game we're going to highlight is Buffalo Bills 6-4, which is really sad to look at. They're only 6-4. And the New Orleans Saints, who are 5-5. Buffalo is a 4-point road favorite in this game. It's right there at 46.5, so it's totally fine. Six of the last seven games for New Orleans have hit the over. And their defense is starting to kind of unravel, like to the point where they used to be someone that we would stay away from, and now I don't mind it, and they're not getting after the quarterback as much. So that's why Josh Allen feels like the safest play on the slate, highest floor, highest ceiling. That's not much more you need to ask about Josh Allen. But how are you thinking of this game in terms of game flow?
Yeah, this is one that I think it's pretty obvious what the Bills want to do. They want to throw the football, throwing at one of the highest rates in the league, and it makes a ton of sense, especially in this game, because you can't run on the Saints. They are a pass funnel defense. They are getting thrown on at a high rate by their opponents, so it fits a lot of what the Bills like to do. So like you said, Josh Allen's a great play here, and given their high implied total, he's a great play. The question is, how do you stack him in this game, presumably if they have success that way? And then, you know, on the Saints side of the ball, it's like their pass catchers are so thin that literally any of these guys could put up a zero on this slate, but you know Mark Ingram is a solid play. So I think he is probably the most interesting bring back if you're stacking Josh Allen. What are your thoughts on his pass catchers?
I'm struggling because you know Allen has the equity to run one in. So they throw at such a high rate that I want to double stack. But there's also the ability for, let's say, Diggs gets a touchdown, Allen runs in one, and then one of the running backs run in another. You know, it's like, am I really trying to search for this endless, you know, upside game? Like, we haven't seen it from Manny Sanders in a while. Cole Beasley could have like a PPR game. And I think on DraftKings, $4,500 is so cheap for what he does. So I will say that I like Dawson Knox as a pivot off of those other two more popular tight ends. I just wouldn't stack him with Diggs. They've had a ton of negative correlation, negative 0.48 so far in 17 games played. So if I was going to do something in a tournament, I would go Allen, Sanders, and Knox. And I feel like you're getting off of the Diggs, and you're also getting off of some of the tight ends. You could still play Waller and Schultz as a flex, but that's kind of my favorite way to do it. And then pick somebody, just one other person on the Saints side.
Yeah, I think that's a great play. I think this probably seems like the best way to create a different lineup on the pass catchers for Buffalo, because I think we both agree, we feel pretty confident that Josh Allen's going to have a solid day here. It's just a matter of where do the touchdowns go. And I think if you do pick the right combination, you're going to have a nice outcome as far as roster percentage. And then as well, like I said, just getting different in terms of your build on the slate. So I like that call a lot. I'll definitely be mixing and matching, especially in my like 3-max style tournaments, or if you're going to play a 20-max entry type of tournament, you know, definitely be willing to kind of mix and match with Josh Allen.
I plan on doing some 20-max because with these Saints receivers, all of them, I could see all of them catch a touchdown. Like it's totally possible. I do want to mention Trevor Siemian because for fantasy, he's been not bad. Like just for pure fantasy. Now from watching the games, it's been rough. He's averaging nearly 40 pass attempts per game over the last 3 weeks. All right. Like he's been a top five quarterback twice. So we need to at least pay attention to the fact that if they're seeing volume, I get it that it's the Bills, but if you knew you were getting 40 pass attempts from Trevor Siemian, are you saying I have to have a New Orleans pass catcher in my lineup?
Probably on this slate. But
yeah.
At the same time, it's so difficult to pick one. I think we both talked about already Deontay Harris is probably the dude that we like, just given that, you know, his salary fits. If he doesn't do much for you, it's not going to kill your lineup. Whereas like if you spend up to try to play Marquez Callaway, I mean, at 5K, you're passing on Cole Beasley and possibly Dalton Schultz and a bunch of other guys that we like. So I think I'm probably going to be underweight the other guys and just play a lot of Deontay Harris.
Traquan's on the field the most if you're just looking for just pure opportunity. But I think Deontay is what we're saying. It's like the most explosive, the most versatile, and he eats up zone coverage. So that's kind of where I'm at with this game. In terms of the defense, I will say Buffalo's defense, you can totally play them as well. And then the Saints defense is like a huge like volatility play. Like they could be the worst defense on this slate. They also could have a couple of like Josh Allen turnovers that make them viable at home. They score a couple touchdowns, like just all over the place. Three game slate, it can happen. But give me your Vegas pick.
Yeah, I will take Buffalo here, laying the 4 points. I think they get the win.
Yeah, I can't get away from Buffalo as well. I think they'll bounce back here and take the -4. All right, let's battle it out.
DFS Battle Royale.
So normally Betts and I go back and forth with some picks. We're going to reveal our DraftKings lineup on air. And this is something that Andy, Mike, and Jason get to do every single week. And yeah, let's see. I mean, I think we kind of already revealed a couple of very popular plays. So for me at quarterback, I have Josh Allen.
I do as well. Let's move on.
Dang it. All right, running back, I have David Montgomery and Kenyon Drake.
Okay, that is different. I do not have Kenyon Drake. I do have David Montgomery, and I actually paired him with DeAndre Swift. I know that's against the rules, but I'm doing it.
I went back and forth about doing that from terms of high floor, but it allowed me to pay up at a couple other spots. So at wide receiver, I have Stephon Diggs, stacking him with Josh Allen, Michael Gallup, and I just punted with Josh Reynolds.
Hard to say negative things about that group. I have Stephon Diggs as well with the stack. We talked about Deontay Harris. I've got him at 3,700. He's my punt option. And then I went with my boy. I mean, I have to for the brand. Hunter Renfrow at 5,600.
You would. But that allowed me at tight end to play Darren Waller and flex Dalton Schultz.
You're excited about the double tight end build. I respect it. I also have Schultz. He is my tight end. My flex option is going to be Cedric Wilson in that Dallas game.
And then at defense, I picked the Bears.
I did not pick the Bears because I do not have enough salary to pick the Bears.
Wow.
So I'm going down to the basement. I actually have the Raiders in this spot, and things could change, but I'm operating under the assumption there is no CeeDee Lamb, there is no Tyron Smith, and we've seen the Raiders generate pressure before, so I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Feel free to use those lineups if you want. We will be unveiling these and more at ballersdfs.com. We'll be, you know, there's a couple of different Thanksgiving slates I know we'll get to open up if you guys want to join us. And feel free to copy, put that in the Millie Maker, and you'll probably tie with about 1,000 other people because everyone's going to have the same lineup. But it's super fun. And yeah, our content looks a little different this week. On Friday, we will have the main slate that comes out. But we are definitely taking off Thursday, you and I, to be with family and everyone else. But yeah, I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving. Any final words for the people?
No, I think we touched on all of it. Hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy the holiday. Enjoy the football. Enjoy the food. We'll see you on Friday for the main slate.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Fantasy Footballers DFS Podcast. Don't forget to visit us on the web at www.thefantasyfootballers.com.